But in truth, beneath the composed exterior, there was no such calm within me. What could this mean? Miss Hemingway, what is she implying? For a maiden to abandon her shyness, that subtle coquetry, and invite me into her bath. This cannot be merely a playful jest. And with a strange surge of pride, I felt my whole body float away. Ah, Mr. O'Gree, you are laughing, aren't you? But that is only because you do not know Miss Hemingway. Her round eyes, her plump, resilient cheeks, her face and body, perfectly toned, seem ready to spring into motion. She is a divine masterpiece. Everything that cannot be touched, even if one tries, is divine. But in any case, I was a student of Briscoe. Then I'll just leave it here. Yes, thank you. But you can stay here for a little while. My astonishment at that moment was beyond comparison. But Miss Hemingway continued, speaking one phrase after another. See, my mind isn't so bad, is it? I know the steam has fogged your glasses, and you can't see a thing. Can you see what I am doing right now? Then, a fierce gush of water, splashing, and a faint, hazy mass of pale pink appeared in the mist before my eyes. It swayed. It writhed. My throat went dry, and my own gasps echoed in my ringing ears. Please make yourself comfortable. I finally moistened my throat and managed only these words. Then Miss Hemingway said, "My, you are quite the domestic type, aren't you?" And she seemed to let out a little chuckle. But from that moment, the lens began to adapt to the room's temperature, and the mist finally started to clear. Then, the sound of the irrigation valve opening, like a sudden downpour. The water twisted open, billowed forth, enveloping everything in a thick cloud of steam. The precious, gasping moment had returned to its former state. "What a pity," Miss Hemingway said, with a hint of mockery in her voice. "What do you mean? You know very well. I thought the ebony gentleman would be a more open person. I mean, from a 40-yard scrum, it becomes a three-quarter pass. And I cut it off, then make a good kick to touch. With one move, it's a 30-yard comeback, isn't it? I don't understand. What is that? You don't understand? Well, never mind. Just get out or I'll splash you with water." I was tossed about mercilessly. Yet I returned with a fresh scent, like that of young leaves in spring. Afterwards, as I lay rolled up in my bed, I felt my limbs and body being kneaded, and I grew wild with desire. What was it all for? Why did she call me to the bathroom? It might have been Miss Hemingway's whim, perhaps, but to simply dismiss it as such would be too impulsive, too much like a gushing oil well. Was something pent up within her, struggling to break free? This is quite common. They call it green leaf disease. One might suddenly become melancholic or fall into a state of hyperactivity, biting at everything without distinction. In any case, it's a sorrow, a longing to break free from a shell, yet unable to crack it open. That girl within her heart is fully ripe, yet there is a fastidiousness there, preventing her from breaking through, even if she tries. Yes, there is certainly something pathological about her virginity. But is it merely my own arbitrary conclusion to decide so? I don't know. Between Miss Hemingway and I, there is a racial barrier. And was this too just a fleeting game of one night? I agonized, torn between right and left, pondering the strange enigma that Miss Hemingway's actions had presented, writhing in confusion. Ah, O'Gree, you would laugh at me from that point on. Whenever I had a moment, I would sneak into Miss Hemingway's room when she was out, twitching my nose at the lingering fragrance that filled the air. O'Gree, all is glowing, burning, trembling. I was a fool, but did heaven bless this fool? The next day was rain, then the day after, more rain, and the air was thick with the scent of riots, punctuated by occasional gunshots. There was no wind, only rain lashing the ground like a waterfall. By the way, the 8 days beginning from that day were a period of abstinence dedicated to the goddess Kali. One would bathe, abstain from all desires, and sacrifice a lamb. And through these acts, one would appease Kali, the goddess of destruction. Yet, at this moment, a festival was far from anyone's mind. Rain, riots, and on top of that, a terrifying humidity, like thick steam. But in such times as one lay rolling lazily about, wouldn't the heart gradually become like that of a beast? I too realized that I was on the verge of losing my reason. Soon the dark sky grew even darker, the rain ceased, and the night felt as if it were boiling. However, that very night, Miss Hemingway suffered an attack of neuralgia. Last year, a fall from polo. My right shoulder aches now with every change in the season. Padmini and I, we'd take turns, changing the compresses on my aching shoulder. I was so diligent then, even I was surprised. Rolling up my sleeves, wringing out those towels tight, and just then, from the street, a soft shuffling sound. Not footsteps, just a group passing by. Oh, that. It must be something. I see. Oh, but I haven't said a word yet. I'd make mistakes sometimes, land myself in tight spots. It's been a strange, perverse pleasure for so long now. Now, my right hand held the towel tight. My left offered the ashtray for Miss Hemingway's cigarette. Ah, even in this moment, a Briscoe student, despite a fall, wore so many faces. Ah, I see. Instead of clapping my hands, I raised the ashtray, letting the cigarette ash fall softly. I understand now. That surge of strength in an emergency, that intense pain, forgotten the moment the natives pass by. No, when your nerves are taut, you don't feel a thing, do you? Is that so? In life, that point often makes me pause and reflect. So a philosophy for life, then. Miss Hemingway chuckled softly. I used to think Mr. Chand was someone else entirely, so good at charming. But instead of just pleasing a girl like Padmini, he'd never let it end simply. He'd always take more. You know, that common type you see out in the world? But then, she said, and Miss Hemingway's face began to wince in pain. But it seemed not yet unbearable, not quite so bad. But I do think you're remarkably diligent. Diligent. Me. Yes, I'm sure you have other good qualities too, but you're just too diligent. Everything else gets lost in it. Her usual sharp tongue this time came entirely from within her pain. Padmini, call Padmini. That pain in her waist. Even I dared not touch it. But Padmini, she still hadn't returned to this room. Not yet. Padmini is not here. I'd been trying to keep Miss Hemingway from remembering that. All this time. She's in the cook's room now, being Muslim. On this day of Kali, she would face no blame. And all the while, I was managing everything diligently. The pleasure of her closeness, almost within reach. I didn't want Padmini to come back and break that spell. I clicked my tongue, deep within my heart. Then, Miss Hemingway groaned painfully, arching her chest. Call her. Hey, quickly, she urged. Hurry, Mr. Chand. Drag her here. But, I said, feeling flustered myself, if I think about it, she hasn't been seen for 4 or 5 hours now. Yes, now that you mention it, she said, her eyes fixed anxiously, as if forgetting her pain. What time was that, I wonder? Padmini came out of the dining hall, I think. Miss Hemingway's face slowly grew bashful. A look of resignation crossed her, trying to decide something. And just then, a cry erupted from somewhere in the street. A terrible sound, with several gunshots, filled the room. The window glass shattered into fragments. A smell of gunpowder rose from somewhere beneath the futon. In that moment, the precious opportunity was utterly shattered. Miss Hemingway, consumed by terror, cried out. She fled headlong into the wine cellar in the basement. So was this something the goddess Kali did not favor after all? After that, Miss Hemingway remained much the same. Several times I was made to cry out, oh, what an opportunity. But I couldn't help but think of the precepts of Hinduism. If the divine, destructive gunshots of that first night were a revelation, then what would come next? Ah, Ogri, Worldly desires rage and faith is threatened. To try and gain a woman on the day of purification and abstinence, it was truly a sad, sad twist of fate. After that, I spent each day in a daze, but hope still rested on the ninth day. On that day, after purification, everything would be free. The rain, too, had stopped completely two nights before. No smell of gunpowder lingered in the town now. The morning wind crossed over the flooded millet fields. From the wetlands, it carried the cries of Indian rhinoceroses, making them sound as if they were nearby. Miss Hemingway went to the High Ground Park's promenade that morning. Around 8, the sound of hooves echoed through the tree shadows. When I gently took her lowered hand, what do you know? A whip cracked sharply down upon it. Ah, I instantly lost myself. Such an unexpected change. Overwhelmed by such deep shame, I just bowed my head. I didn't enter the hotel. I just ran headlong away. And from then on, it was a life of wandering. I confess, I grew weary of the Indian people, so bound by their festivals. Yet the ancestral voices, praying for harvest, they never truly fade from my mind. O Ogri, in all things, the Indian people are troubled by this dilemma. They hold beliefs that clash with their own nation's progress. O Ogri, let's just go back to our own country. But even as I listened, my mind was wandering to other things. My thoughts drifted to Miss Hemingway. What aphrodisiac could have led her to such actions? Perhaps she saw something in the nearby sun temple. There, the gods display their strange and alluring postures. Or was it the dizzying scent of musk, agarwood, and jasmine, the humid tropical air? In any case, she must have known about the 8-day abstinence, and the cool air after the rain was enough to calm restless moods and reckless desires. Soon, as night began to fade and darkness softened into a pale dawn, through the Bodhi tree's canopy, I saw the Union Jack gently trembling in the breaking light. An Indian morning, yet far from a true new dawn, I compared it to Chan's sleeping face and quietly murmured to myself.